The solar plexus is not logical. The solar plexus takes everything and turns it upside down. It can take reasoning. You can say black is white, or black is black, and the solar plexus interprets that black as white. And so it reverses everything. And the reason it reverses everything is the purpose of the solar plexus in the astral world is to lead us into experience. If you think about it, you will not go into experience. I remember the first time I dived off a diving board, it was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And I kept thinking about it. Well, what if, and my mind about drove me crazy. I finally just had to shut off my mind and dive, you know, because my mind was creating fears in me. And I'm a terrible swimmer to begin with, so that made it even worse. So just diving off that diving board was probably one of the most terrifying things I've ever done. The first speech I ever gave in church was pretty terrifying, too. I was about, how old was I? About 12 or so. And I wasn't really active, but the bishop came and asked me to give a speech. And I didn't know what to give a speech. I'd never read anything in scriptures. And I asked somebody, well, what shall I give a speech on? And somebody gave me this little book. And it was about the parable of building on the foundation of a rock instead of sand. And I read that over and read that over. And I got up and I gave it with no notes. And I remember when I was sitting in the chair and I looked at the audience. And I don't know what was more terrifying, the first time I dove off a diving board or looking at that audience and thinking how terrifying it was to get up and speak to those people. But I don't know how I got through it because I was so nervous. But anyway, the point is, if you stop and think about something, it can bring tremendous fears to your mind. And if we didn't have the emotional body to pull us into experience, we would just play it safe because we would think, man, if I go in this experience, I could have a big problem. If I married this person, there's a million things that could go wrong. I mean, look at him. He doesn't shave very good, or he doesn't clean his fingernails or whatever. You know, he smells. I should not marry him. But on the emotional level, when the emotions come in play and we're polarized with emotions, we just go into experience. We go where angels fear to tread. It doesn't really matter what the danger is. If we feel that we're going to get a high from it, if we're going to get 15 minutes of fame, 15 minutes of gratification, we plunge into it fearlessly. We're not afraid. What's that?
Especially when you're young.
Yeah, especially when you're young. When you get older, the mind kind of starts to take over a little bit because you've had so many learning experiences and painful experiences. When you get older, you do tend to shift up to the mind a little bit. Think, well, on the other hand, my sister, when she was my oldest sister, when she was, I think she was, how old was she, about 65, 70, her husband died. And she met this real charmer of a guy, you know. And he was a real salesman type personality, exuberant. And she brought him to meet us. And she's a real conservative Mormon and everything. But this guy was a gambler and a big spender and big talker, you know. And she brought him to meet us, and she thought we would really be impressed. And Artie and I looked at each other, and we thought, oh, man. She's headed for a world of trouble with this guy. But we could tell that she was dazzled by this guy, and he stimulated her feelings in a different way than her husband ever did, because he was a nuclear scientist, her mm-hmm. past husband. And he was a very interesting guy, but he was really low key, just the opposite of this guy. So this salesman type guy, he just did something to her no one's ever done before. And we says, well, don't you think you're jumping in this a little quick? They say, yeah, we're getting married in 2 weeks, and they just met a few weeks ago. And she said, well, didn't you, you and Artie's romance was even shorter than ours, and it worked out. I said, well, yeah. But it doesn't always work out. I tried to advise her, but she kept throwing it back at me. Well, you guys worked out for you, and yours was fast. Yeah, yeah. We decided on our, even before our first date, we were getting married. So ours worked out fast. Matter of fact, when we applied for our wedding license, was hours after my divorce went through, and the gal looked at the papers. Well, you just divorced hours ago? And
he's not
drunk. Now, Artie's divorced, too. Both of our divorces went through about the same time. Ink wasn't dry on either one of our divorces, so the clerk was kind of wondering about us. But I had some soul contact concerning her, so I knew it was right. But I didn't think my sister had soul contact on this guy, because my soul was saying something different about this guy. That I thought, beware, red flag. And they were together for a few months, and she couldn't take it anymore, and they separated. It was only lasted a short period of time.
Before they got married?
No, they were only married a few months. They got married, only lasted a few months, and it ended.
And then she married again. Remember that?
Did she marry him a second time?
Yeah, don't you remember?
No, I don't.
And JJ, that's your fault. That.
Oh, okay. Well, that didn't last long either. Anyway, now she's got a good guy. She met a good, stable Mormon guy that thinks the way she does, and more like her first husband was. And, well, except he's... Her first husband was really different in the fact that he spent about 20 years building their dream home. When she married this final guy, he finished it in no time. Yeah, her first husband was the type of guy who wanted to do it all himself, and he just took forever. It was a nice home when it was finally done, but I'm glad she finally got it done so she can live in her dream home. Anyway, I diverge again. So anyway, the important point to remember is that's a really interesting principle, the law of correspondences, and how much we can learn from it. And just by looking at the night sky even, the correspondence there is fantastic. When we go to the highest realm, we originated there. When our basic individuality began to vibrate, and light is produced by vibration, and points of light began to appear in the divine space. And it explains why we're all one. Because space is one, so the livingness of God reverberates through all divine space. And because you are a point in divine space and connected to divine space, you are connected to every other being that's existing within the divine space. Not only every other being, but every point of matter, every atom, every molecule that's in existence in divine space is connected to you. Connected to you by the space and by the vibration that reverberates through the divine space. So it's interesting to contemplate. So in the beginning, your intelligence began to manifest and then began to descend. We made the decision to manifest, and that created a point of light of which we were a part. Now, then we descended through the formless worlds. How that descent happened has never been explained by any teacher that I've ever seen, but especially descending through the formless worlds. But it began with just an increase of light, and then the ideas began to manifest as we enter into the atmic. This is the world of the ideas. And the ideas as to what you wanted to do when you came down and descended and came back up.